Well, I had to channel my inner teenage girl because the whole time we're watching it over the course of two nights, Audrey's like patting herself on the back. Well, thank you to my sixth grade obsession of Hamilton. Now everybody knows what I was all obsessed about. And I was like, calm down, little girl, you know?
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Welcome to one of our Sunday night recordings, Ted. It's episode 125 of the Trailer Junkies podcast. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. So doing my bike climbing Leadville challenge, 100,000 foot challenge thing. And I've just about hit 30,000 feet and I'm a little fatigued, but you know, I'm ready to drive on and keep going.
Did you shave your hair and your face to make yourself more aerodynamic?
No, I did because it's like freaking hot outside. On my Garmin today, I'm going up this one back canyon called Drum Canyon. I look down and my Garmin reads 111, but that's also in the sun and everything. That's not the
right.
Yeah. I mean, but that's where I am and I'm cooking out there. It was hot, man. It was hot. I drank a ton of fluids. So speaking of fluids, though, before we go further, how about we cracked our last homebrew?
The last homebrew and the one you're most concerned, most, how would you pose it? You were most concerned about this one? You're most trepidatious about this one?
Yeah, because I know your misgivings of this style of beer.
Uh-oh. Now I really want to crack into it.
Yeah, I mean, you'll know once you get going. You'll be like, oh, I know what that is. But yeah, so I'll do mine too, since we have the same beer. And then okay. You give me your notes, and then I'll talk more about it.
I'm corking right now. It has a nice Chimay cage on it that I broke.
Oh yeah, don't worry about that. I mean, I reuse them. So.
And you said I have to do like a corkscrew. You said.
Yeah, because the way I do it, I soak these things in star sand, so they pretty much seal.
So I cork it, but I can't really like pop it like a wine cork, right? Oh, there it goes. All right, it's going.
Yeah, just pour it straight in.
So this is a Belgian.
Correct, sir.
It is a dark golden hue with a if you get a vigorous pour on it, it gives you a little bit of a head.
Yeah, I was hoping for more head on these. I had a hard time with the yeast on this one, man. I was a little disappointed, but that's okay. I mean, the flavor's still there, so cheers.
Cheers. Mmm. I'm glad I'm in the triple caramelite glass. It tastes very caramely.
I have the same glass.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's 8%, 17 IBU, so it's low on the IBU. And essentially, it's a Belgian strong style Abbey Ale.
Abbey Ale. Okay.
So, but a Belgian strong. So have you ever had a Brother Thelonious from North Coast Brewing?
Yes, I like that.
It's along the lines of that. So yeah, it's very similar.
Okay, cool.
And one time I brewed one of these. This was like a couple batches ago or something. Mm-hmm. And I thought I screwed up. You know, I'm like, oh, this just tastes weird. It tastes like I couldn't put my finger on it at the time. And so anyway, just out of a whim, I went and bought Brother Thelonious. Not to compare. I just thought I just saw it and I bought it.
Right.
And I was like, it tastes exactly like my beer. So I guess I was spot on. But yeah, it's caramely.
Yeah.
There's that caramel flavor to it.
It's sweeter than most of the Belgians that I'm used to.
Little bit sweeter, yeah, yeah. But overall, though, yeah, I'm glad you find it tasty.
No, tasty, complex, sweet, different, you know, like, you know, and I joke that I don't like that I gave away all those Belgians. But I think there's something about like the less sweet. It's almost like many Belgians that I have are not complex.
They're like a one-trick pony with that banana flavor, and that's it.
Yeah, it's like a one-note kind of thing. And when it's one note and it's the Belgian, it just feels like it's just a heavy beer with the one note. So I think that's why I kind of like went off the IPA farm and, you know, just like tried to get all the different IPAs. But even that now, it's like, ugh, you know, like I think you just need to change it up for your palate, you know? Like I've been off on the IPA rant for months now, and like I'm just seeking out the IPAs that are different and, you know, complex. And so I don't know. I think it's fun to take these breaks where I've only had your beers and a couple of other beers in between them. And it's you know, it's something you definitely need to give your palate a rest on and then come back to. And as long as they're complex, it's good. This is a very complex Belgian.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because when you don't have IPAs for quite a while, you know, let's say you go a few weeks and you drink other stuff, maybe like this is a little bit sweeter. Part of the reason it's sweeter is it's 17 IBU, right? You're not at that super high IBU that's overly bitter and totally like fragrant and all that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The funny thing about it though is you go like say a month or something without having an IPA, and like I said, you drink lagers or Kolsch or any of that kind of stuff, right? Something that's more caramel flavored, something that's less hoppy, something that's maybe like you said, sweeter,
yeah,
or more malty. And then you have an IPA, even if it's a mild IPA, and the hops just punch you in the face. It is shocking when you don't have those for a while and then you go back to them, how much more bold they are in the hop than you remembered. It's like you're, like you said, you gave your palate a break from it and it kind of reset. Now it's like, okay, let's get back over to this.
And I will say, like earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, I had that, that Neo Cryo IPA, and I was like, it was the best IPA I've had in a long time. And I went out and I found it and I bought it again, and I guess it was good the last time I had it. It was also good this time, but it didn't, you know, because my palate was expecting it, it didn't hit the same way, you know. It was like, it was very,
you're a little sensitized to it.
Yeah, I was like, or desensitized to the to the impact of it, you know.
So I heard that you watched like a ton of stuff this week that we'll get to later. So let's move along because we got to get to that. So before we jump into the trailers, how was your week this week?
Good week. You know, we had the 4th of July yesterday and went over to Frank and Barbara's, and we had a social distancing 4th of July cookout. We had Rita and Scott were there as well. So we had three tables set up at approximately 6 feet apart from each other on the patio there.
Now, were there fireworks in LA or did they cancel them all?
I mean, they canceled all the official fireworks, but I don't think
that's what I mean. Yeah.
I don't think that stopped anybody from firing off fireworks all night long to like 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's how it goes, you know. And we put the boys down and we said, well, boys, sorry you had to go to bed with this, but expect it all night long. But yeah, the official stuff was all canceled for us too. So yeah, cool. That sounds like it was a good time. And then you guys had some good company and everything. So
yeah. How about you guys? What did you do? Did you do anything or?
Not for the 4th. I barbecued some fish. And, you know, we made some rice and whatever. But this past week, I wound up in the ER. Yeah, I wound up with a 214 over 101 blood pressure.
It's so funny. It's so funny. We were talking about this last week, and I was pulling out my meds, and we were doing all this stuff. And yeah,
the night before we're talking about it, I woke up and I was like, wow, my blood pressure is 160 over whatever it was, 80 or something. The low was kind of normal, but, and then I'm like, well, let me check here. And then it was like 170 over like 90. And I'm like, man, it's going up. And then it hits like 175 or something on the systolic. So I called urgent care. I said, man, you know, I need to come in, I think. Told them what was going on. They said, how about, this is like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. And they said, how about 4:30? I said, okay, 4:30. I check, it's like 180. It's still going up. I'm like, screw it. Let's go to the ER, man. Because I get to the ER, it's 214 over 101. I was like, what the heck? And they ran a bunch of different, you know, ran blood work. They took a chest x-ray. They did a bunch of stuff to see like what could be causing it. They came up with nothing. Gave me blood pressure med to take home.
Right.
So I've been taking that every day. Saw my doctor too. And right now it depends. I'm kind of all over the board. It fluctuates between about 116, 117 to about 145 on the blood pressure med. And so
Do you eat a lot of salt?
Not really. No, we don't add salt. I mean, we add a little bit of salt to stuff, but
yeah, a little salt during the cooking is fine, but yeah, no salt at the table. That's what we do. We do no salt at the table. And
oh yeah, we never do salt at the table. And here's the thing. So the doctor said, well, if you eat something salty, just monitor it and see if salt affects you. So Friday night we get pizza. My blood pressure goes down. Right? And then so I read that hydrochlorothiazine, I guess is what it is. That's like the water pill.
Oh, yeah. Right, right.
And they said you have to be cautious with alcohol because it could drop your blood pressure too low. I said, okay. So, you know, I took it, you know, in a few days. And then I'm like, well, let me have a beer, see what happens. It was like 135 or something, you know, a few hours after taking this thing. So I have one beer, about 125. I have another beer. It's like 120 or 119 or something. I'm like, so the medication is a blood pressure med and two beers, and that gets me where I need to be. But yeah, I think I'm gonna have to get changed to like an ACE inhibitor or something. I don't know what, but this doesn't really work that well for me. It does okay, but it doesn't.
Yeah, mine's a hybrid. Mine's a mix of that and something else. So it does dual duty of like, you know, making you pee it out, which is I think that what you're talking about, just like a water pill that dehydrates you. And then, yeah, something else.
And they were saying, okay, so they're saying you got to be careful. You don't want to take them too close to bed or whatever. You'll be peeing all night. First night I take it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be peeing all night. Man, I slept straight through, didn't have to pee. Like, and I don't notice any difference with peeing. I mean, it's the same. But I did buy the blood pressure cuff that you recommended.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, there it is.
It was on the list. My doctor, he had a list of about five of them that he got off of Consumer Reports, and that was number two on the list. I don't know how close to number one, number two, but that was number two, and you recommended it and stuff and liked it. So, but I love how syncs to your phone. You can export a CVS file, or you can do whatever you can share it. You can do whatever you want, and you know, with you know, your doctor, whoever you need to, and you can add notes and stuff. And yeah, it's pretty seamless, and I just like the ease of use.
Right. And it's fun. It's fun. Like, so sometimes I do it late at night, so I don't always, like, sometimes I'll do it and I'll take it off and I'll just go straight to sleep. And then in the morning, I'll plug it in and like, or, you know, put it on and take my blood pressure again. And I'll be like, oh, I forgot to store that one. But it stores it internally and it'll export it. You know,
exactly.
That it hasn't exported. It'll like sync. It syncs basically.
Welcome to Blood Pressure Talk with Jim and Ted.
It's important in our hydraulic system that I said last week, right? I called this
the pneumatic
system. What did I say? I said we're pneumatic, but that would be if we're full of air, right? If the lungs are a pneumatic system, the blood the hydraulic system and pee and all the liquids, all hydraulics. Okay, good. We got that straightened out.
A couple nights ago, I woke up to, obviously I woke up to pee, but I was doing that long before blood pressure meds. So I'm laying in bed and like my heart's like going boom, boom, boom. It's like pounding, you know, and I'm just like, oh my God, my blood pressure must be so high right now. And like I couldn't sleep because I was ruminating over it.
Right, right, right.
So I'm like, I'm just going to get up, see what my blood pressure is. It was 108 over 60. I'm like, and I'm like, why is my heart pounding like that? You know, and I'm thinking, maybe I just have a cyclist heart. I'm just really strong. It's a really strong heart, you know?
Yeah, but if you have a cyclist heart, it does that, but it pounds like at 42 beats per minute or something.
Oh, yeah. Right? It was super low. I mean, it's funny though. Like, even when I was in the doctor's office, as it was coming down in the ER, it was like, because they were monitoring things, and it was like, I don't know, 160 over 90, 49 beats per minute, you know? And they're like, we have a really low heart rate. I'm like, I just wish my blood pressure was low.
Thank you, but we need the whole system to be thing.
Well, and the funny thing is, you know, so in my case, talking with my doctor and looking at my lifestyle and diet, I mean, diet, you know, yes, I'll have some alcohol, mostly in the form of beer, sometimes wine, rarely liquor. You know, I'll eat pizza. Sometimes I'll have a cheeseburger and fries, though that's not really that often. I probably eat more pizza than I do cheeseburgers. But overall, though, you know, like, we eat pretty healthy. We don't eat a lot of processed stuff. We don't eat salty stuff, you know? I mean,
yeah.
We do a lot of greens and veggies and lean meats.
And you're grilling fish.
Yeah, grilled fish yesterday, and I grilled some rainbow trout today. But tomorrow we're doing hamburgers, so there you go. But, you know, the funny thing is, though, and I'm talking to my doctor, and he said, you know, I bet you feel frustrated because you eat healthy, you get adequate rest, and, you know, like, you're thin, and you exercise a lot and everything. And he's like, it's genetic. And I'm talking to my cousin Frank, who smokes, sits all day, has a pot belly, eats just this horrible diet, right? Although I can't say he still does, but he used to, and I'm sure it hasn't changed much, but you never know.
Right.
And he's like, talking with him about it, he's like, yeah, my blood pressure is normal. Doctor says I have a good heart. I'm just like, it's not fair. But all the men in our family, my uncles, my grandfather, you know, everybody's on blood pressure meds. You know, my one uncle's on 5 blood pressure meds. I'm just like, what? Yeah, it's insane. It's so crazy. And then I see people, you know, and I get all mad. I'm like, I see some majorly obese dude, and I tell Clarissa, I'm like, and I got high blood pressure.
You know? Well, that was my thing too. Like the blood pressure meds, I thought about it and I was like, oh, I don't want to take it. And Anne was just like, well, even, you know, like when I was down to my lowest and, you know, running 5 miles a day, it didn't matter. I still needed the blood pressure meds. So it, like you said, it's genetic. And
yeah.
And even when you gain weight or lose weight and, you know, it'll impact it a little bit, you know, it'll tweak it left and right, but it's not going to, you know, completely change your life, sadly.
I would say for the past 5 years, I've been running between 125 and 135. And the doc pretty much said, once you're averaging over 135, I'm going to put you on meds, you know? I think this was just the, whatever happened in the past, like, couple of weeks, I don't know, just age or something, but whatever happened, whatever changed, you know, it was the switch.
Yeah, it was time.
Yeah, it's just, you can't fight your genetics at some point. It is what it is.
Well, I'm glad you went to the ER and I'm glad you took care of it and you're you know, at least you observed it and knew to do something about it, you know.
Yeah, and I think, like, for whatever the reason, 150 is probably what it was running at. And then I think I just started to stress and freak out, and I think that's what launched it.
Yeah.
I don't know that to be true, but they couldn't find any issue. They checked for a heart attack. They checked everything, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And they couldn't figure anything out. And I think what it was is it's just over time, I just got to the point I needed meds. And then once I saw that 150, I think my brain just was like in freakout mode. And then that just lit off the adrenaline and all the other fight or flight type stuff. And then it just skyrocketed the BP, you know? So,
right.
All right, man, enough blood pressure talk. So how about we get into The Old Guard, coming out July 10th on Netflix. Not a lot of lead time.
Not a lot of lead time. I think I heard about this way back when. The cool thing about this is they had a little, Netflix had a little fun with the title, the type of trailer this is.
What type of trailer is it?
Yeah, so typically you have the teaser trailer, right? Comes out early, long lead stuff. And then you have official trailer or trailer number one or, you know, feature trailer.
Sure.
They're calling this one the Forever Trailer. So at first, before I had watched the trailer, I was like, ooh, the Forever Trailer. So they're expecting this to kind of be some kind of a new type of trailer where they give it to you. And then because it's owned by Netflix and because it's a trailer for content inside of Netflix, this is Forever Trailer. It doesn't matter when anyone enters this realm or this age bracket or stumbles upon this feature. You know, trailers are a big part of whether somebody's going to watch. And I also thought about it as, you know, when you're stumbling around all the streaming services and you're trying to find something to watch, there's a lot of times where I'll find a title and I punch into the description of it. You know, that's the landing page right before you hit play. And I'm trying to sell it to Anne. I'm trying to say, I heard good things about this. You know, here's this. And luckily, they have the trailer that's right there. You know, they have the main trailer that's there. So I thought maybe this is what they're calling the trailer that's going to be forever tied to the actual content of this this movie or series or whatever it is. It feels like a movie.
Well, I think it's a movie, but not only. Well, it could be a series though. But it looks like
a series of movies. It looks like a movie, but it's like, ooh, if it does well, if it tracks well, we'll do a sequel. You know what I mean? It's, you know, serialized television and serialized movies have really, you know, blurred in between them now that streaming services do both, you know?
For sure. So you're thinking the Forever trailer is when you get to Netflix and you turn on Netflix, and what Netflix winds up doing is it like starts auto-playing like a trailer when you mouse over right. it or whatever, or well, the mouse mm-hmm. over. What do you call it? Like when you're on like an OT?
Hover
over it, whatever. Yeah, you highlight it, I guess. And so you highlight it and it starts like it auto plays a trailer. So you're saying that is what a Forever trailer is?
That's initially what I thought. But then after I watched the, you know, the Old Guard trailer, I think Forever trailer kind of plays into the idea of what these people are, how they're immortals, how they live forever, and it doesn't matter. So it's more of a play on the, it's more of a play on the content than some new ultimate strategy in marketing right. that I thought it was initially. So I once again overthought this in the 15 seconds that I was playing into it before I played it. And then afterwards I was like, or maybe it's just a play on words for the content, you know?
So they're not vampires from what I can tell. Does the trailer indicate the immortality mechanism?
No, it doesn't. And it doesn't, you know, it's kind of funny that they talk about it. You know, they just talk about it as from the time of the Crusades and then to modern day.
Right.
So, you know, it's not a, it's kind of a vague thing, and it's almost thumbing a nose at the logic of it all. It's like, don't get too hung up on this. If you're new to this, we'll do some exposition in the feature. But let's not get hung up
why
on
they live
the
forever.
Logic of yeah. why they're
let's
like
not
this,
go all
you know,
science
in the trailer. Let's not get caught up in the fake science that we've created in this comic book graphic novel universe, and just, you know, get caught up in what we're meant to get caught up in, the action of a Charlize Theron movie that has, you know, this type of fun kick-ass action.
And it's funny, too. You do have to suspend these things sometimes, because I remember when we were watching The Walking Dead, you start Googling and you go onto these, like, I don't know, the blogosphere of The Walking Dead, whatever.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to know, well, how did the apocalypse start? How did the virus get there? And
with a pandemic, right?
Yeah, exactly. I forget the guys' names who wrote it, but they're like, it doesn't matter. Like,
right.
That's not what this is. It's not about the virus. It's about like the people and like what happens to society and the dark place where human nature goes.
Right.
In these times and everything. That's what it's about. It's not about how did the virus start.
You know, we often talk, I think you and I have this affinity for the zombie movies. And
oh, yeah.
Like, I don't watch as much zombies as you do. But, you know, I run every morning with Audrey, and we do this run walk. And right, you know, at the shorter corner of the block, we run. And on the long blocks, we walk. And we do like two miles in a piece.
Okay.
It was earlier this week. And you know, sometimes I'll keep up with Audrey. Sometimes I won't, you know, but we're always wearing our masks. So the big thing is like, we wear our masks, you know, it slows us down. It's harder to breathe, but we do it out of respect for the other people that are walking their dogs and everybody else and for our own safety and everything. Right. And, as we turned the corner to run that first little leg, I was kind of in my own space, in my own head, and I was running, but I was letting Audrey really wanted to sprint it out. So she really like took off past me. And there's a woman walking her dog. And she kind of like jumped, not in front of me, but in between where Audrey and I were. And she didn't have her mask on. And she started talking to me. And I was like, oh my God, she's going to like run up on me and like try to cough on me. And like, you know, she's one of these crazy non-mask wearers. And I had that moment where I was like trying to like run away from her, but kind of not alter my path. And I was like, this is it. This is the zombie apocalypse. It's a non-mask wearing COVID positive person like attacking me with her dog. And then she just says, you have to run faster than that to catch her, you know? And I was like, oh, okay, you just interjected into my running space to deliver your joke, your maskless joke. And I'm just like, ha, 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 you know, trying to smile and like keep running. But I was like, I had that like a true life zombie moment.
Yeah.
Where I was like getting attacked by somebody when she wasn't attacking me at all.
Amazing. And she wasn't like, her flesh wasn't decomposing.
She was not foaming at the mouth, nothing, just a bad, you know, bad joke.
Speaking of mask or non-mask or whatever.
Yeah.
I did a bench building project over the week.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Over the week, yeah. And so me and the boys go to Home Depot, and everybody has a mask on in there. And the boys do, I do, and they're really good about it. We pull up. Helmets come off, masks go on. Mm-hmm. Mikey sets it all up. I mean, you know, he's five, but he's like really, he does it proper. He's diligent. He's really good about it. And then, of course, Timmy's seven. So he's even better at it. I would say better, but like I would expect more from him doing it just because he's older. But my youngest, he does a great job. So we go in. Well, there was almost a fight breaking out because one guy was wearing his mask like on his chin. And somebody in the store was like, sir, would you mind wearing your mask properly, you know? And, oh, what are you the mask police? And it's just like, oh, come on.
Oh, no.
So the funny thing is, the boys, of course, watch this interaction. And then as we're going around the store and everybody who has it underneath their nose, Mikey's always like, you have your mask on wrong. All I'm thinking is, yeah, yell at my kid for being the mask police. You know, like, I'm just, what are you, buddy? The mask police? You know, to a 5-year-old, you know. But it was so funny watching people who, if I said it, would have told me to F off.
Yeah.
But this 5-year-old says it, boop, they put their mask on proper.
Oh, that's so awesome. That you solved the whole problem. Every restaurant, every store needs to employ 5-year-olds,
right.
Or pay the parents of 5-year-olds to bring their 5-year-olds in to say, hey, you're doing that wrong.
That's exactly right. I mean, it was so funny, though, because like this one guy asks him to put his mask on and a fight almost breaks out. They're yelling at each other. My 5-year-old does the exact same thing and people comply. But then I thought about it. I'm like, okay, the mask on the mouth protects me, right? I mean, unless someone sneezes, but it protects me. So from like all the spittle and all the flying saliva and all this stuff.
Right.
The mask over the nose protects the person in a sense, right?
Oh, it protects the wearer.
The wearer. So then I'm thinking like, okay, I want to protect you and me. So I cover both. But some people just cover their mouth and they leave their nose exposed. And I'm like, that's on you.
I think most of the people that do that because of the glasses, the fogging of the glasses.
Oh, I'm going to look from now on.
Yeah. If you cover your nose, there is a higher percentage of glass fogging, but it's mainly because the seal.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Above your nose and under your eyeglasses isn't done right. So, yeah. So I have glasses. And if I don't bend the wire just so. Then sometimes my glasses will fog.
So I'm going to pay attention because if I had to guess, I mean, I'm just going from memory. I would say it's probably about a 50-50.
Mm, okay.
But the worst is, though, when you go to like to the checkout and the person at the counter, they have their mask on, but like it half covers their mouth, doesn't even cover their nose. And I'm like, what are you even doing with this thing? Like, it's like the way you're covering your mouth, it's just been getting filled with drool.
Right.
Anyway, welcome to Mask Talk with Jim and Ted.
after blood pressure talk or mask talk, yeah.
Yeah, so are you going to watch The Old Guard?
Of course, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, I think I will too. I mean, it looks violent, I'll say that.
As a bonus? As a plus?
No, I think I'm indifferent to the violence. I think it's just one of those things where once they get into ass-kicking part of it, the ass-kicking is going to be violent.
Were you a fan of Charlize Theron in Mad Max?
She was in Mad Max? Was it a reboot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not see it.
Yeah, the reboot, the most recent one.
Yeah, did not see it. I'd like to see
it. Oh, okay. That's interesting. It got rave reviews, the new one, the reboot.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the original Mad Max was amazing. And when it first came out, it was American dubbed, which is stupid. And because they didn't think Americans would buy into an Australian accent because like we're so like, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, who knows where that even comes from? Like, we can't handle an accent. But I'll have to say, though, I saw that one without, you know, with the Mel Gibson actual voice when he was speaking with an Australian accent.
Right.
Oh, the movie is way better.
Yeah. Because you aren't. It's a one less alienation device, you know, if you have the dubbing.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, so Anne and I watched this trailer and she loves action movies. And I think she's liked Charlize Theron in most of the stuff. But I think when we were halfway through this, there was something about the deadpan nature of what she was doing. And granted, she's playing a 1,000-plus-year-old character. You know what I mean? So
I like her with the dark hair, though.
Yeah. But Anne was like, I think I'm over her. I'm over her as like this action actress.
I'm over her.
You know, this person. You know,
she's just like, so old. I can't handle it.
Well, no, I think it's just the idea of her delivery. And I was like, I think she's playing into the idea of not caring.
Or like getting stabbed with the knife. She knows she can't die, but it hurts. So like, just let's not do that again. You're not going to kill me. And it just keeps annoying me, you know?
Oh, and to me, that was going to be like, you know, when you have a character like the new army, you know, recruit that they took in.
Marine Corps. We don't need hate mail.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I'm Marine Corps. The new military person they were taking in, I felt at ease, you know, when you said, like, how does this happen? How did this thing take place? How does it progress over time?
Right.
When you have a character like that, you know that the majority of the movie is going to have to be explained to her. And we as the audience will be the, you know, the recipient of residual.
We'll be the fly on the wall.
Information. Yeah. So I was like, oh, great. So they'll explain it to her and then I'll get the knowledge that I'm, you know, the curiosity fulfilled that I want out of this thing. So, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah. And in that scene, what I love about it is so she kicks the back of the door open, whatever, and goes falling out. And then
right.
Charlize comes out, you know, parks the Humvee, comes out, and she's like, ah, come on, get back in the car. Like, car? That's not a car. Like, if anything, truck, you could say truck and probably get away with it. It's not get back in the car. That was terrible.
Get back in the car. So you're going to watch this?
Oh, yeah. This will be one of those like popcorn night movies. Like, I just want to take my mind off of nonsense and, you know, yeah.
Awesome.
All right. So, An American Pickle on HBO Max.
Yes, sir. What do you think about it?
Well, first, HBO Max. How is that different from HBO Go or HBO Now? I don't even know. And why didn't they get on board with everyone else and call it HBO Plus?
I know. Why did they call it HBO Plus? Oh, they just wanted to be different, didn't they? I don't know why they chose HBO Max. And the HBO Maximum, the most HBO you could have. Not just Plus, it's like HBO times, HBO multiplied, you know what I mean?
So let's say you subscribe to HBO, and you get all the HBO content through HBO. In order to get stuff on HBO Max, is this another streaming device you have to... or another streaming service you have to get to?
Yes. So it is the to me, the way I understand it, and I could be wrong, HBO Max is the standalone streaming services, a service. So HBO Go and HBO Plus, I mean, no, HBO Go and HBO
Now.
Now are both, this is the way it's very confusing, they're both
it is
value added from your cable subscription. So if you have cable subscription.
No, the one is a streaming one. Or are they getting rid of that one?
Maybe they're getting rid of Now.
Yeah.
But I think HBO.
HBO Go is a surplus to.
Go is the one that's connected.
And HBO Now, which is the $14.99, they must be getting rid of it.
So HBO Now is going to become HBO Max.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. If they're going to do that, if they keep all three, then what? I don't even understand that model. But
it's confusing.
Yeah, for sure. But they're probably it's probably like a brand renaming or something, a rebranding of it or something.
Rebranding, yeah.
But anyway, the Pickle Man, American Pickle. So the guy was pickled. That's amazing.
He was pickled, obviously a very, very far cry from reality, but I think this is, you know, following a theme for the evening.
Maybe that's how the old guard, they pickle each other to the next, like, thing, whatever, and pull people out of the pickle juice.
Little did we know this is the sequel on a different streaming platform to the...
No, this one's the prequel because it starts in
the origin story, right? At the end of the American Pickle, we see the picklers in the Crusades where Charlize Theron climbs out of a pickle vat.
I love how Seth Rogen plays both roles, though.
Yeah, no, he does. He does. I think he does a good job. And Seth Rogen is not, Anne's not a fan. And as I was watching this with her, she was like, I'm out. I'm not watching this.
Why is she not a fan? Is he too crass?
I think so. I think it's she never liked his humor. She doesn't like Judd Apatow. She's not a fan of that type of humor. So, you know, I knew it wasn't for her. But it was for me, and it was so funny because he's a ditch digger, you know?
Right.
And we had an early week this week because we got our official day off for 4th of July on Friday. So on Thursday afternoon, I started digging a ditch. Frank and I were digging a ditch in the driveway.
What are you laying electric?
In the driveway to put down some electric to that guest house that I was talking about. So I finally dug this ditch and
how deep did you go? Like 18 inches?
I tried to do that. It's probably about a foot.
Well, it's not like deep. Yeah, I mean I grew up in Chicago and we would always have
we don't have to worry about the freeze.
Yeah, you go down. Well, you grew up in DC, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we would go down 18 inches so you stay below the freeze line or whatever.
Right. Right. And that's why I was like at 6 inches and Frank came over. He goes, you should be deeper than that. So I kept going like 12 inches and I was like 12 inches. And he's like, you know, if you go down deeper than that, it's better. So then I kept digging and then I finally got to, you know.
And then you hit water.
Somewhere between 16 inches. Well, that was my thing. I was like, I don't want to hit anything. Let's just stop here. We know that nothing's going to be this high up. So.
Oh, you didn't call
if you're LADWP, of course. Yeah, I didn't do any of this. This is just a joke. But yeah, so it was fun because we watched this right after I was doing that. So I don't know. I think there is something to say about it's to me. It was a evocative analogy to the way we lived 100 years ago, as told to somebody that is living in contemporary times, you know, anytime you take somebody that's time traveled or done something like this, there's a chance for a nice allegory. And this feels like that, you know, it's a familial thing. It's about, you know, death in the family. So it's an interesting idea, you know? So I was drawn in by it.
Yeah, I agree with you. What I like, and I think the David Bowie poster one kind of speaks to it a little bit.
The joke, yeah.
Somebody from 100 years ago well, what is this? 20, so 1920. So yeah, I guess about 100 years ago, roughly.
Yeah.
Somebody from 100 years ago wouldn't think of having a picture or multiple pictures of like the stranger on the walls in your house. You would have pictures of your family on the walls in the house, right?
Right.
Oh, this is David Bowie. So, oh, who's this guy then? Well, that's David Bowie. And it's like, and he's looking at him like, why do you have this guy in your wall? He's not even anybody, right? And I right. think that's what's so like the simplicity of the great grandfather, which is what I enjoyed, is he's gonna, you know, it's gonna be one of those, he's gonna question everything he sees or comes upon, right? And the premise right. is gonna be like, look at how stupid and silly and nonsense. There's gonna be a scene where everybody's looking at their cell phone. And he's going to be like, what is everybody looking at this thing for? You know, like, what is on that or whatever?
Yeah, right.
It's just going to call, it's going to take everybody to task to say, your behavior is asinine. Like, not saying you should never look at your phone, but just maybe be more thoughtful about how you do it is going to be the message. Maybe be more thoughtful about how you approach, like, the food you make or, you know, I don't know what they're going to talk about in the thing, but he's probably going to go to a fast food restaurant and the guy's going to be like, what, you just go through and they just hand you food? Like, this is, I don't understand how this works. You know, like, we used to cook food.
Right.
Exactly. And I think it's going to be one of those kind of like calls into question, like the idiocracy of our modern society. You know what I mean?
Well, it's the ultimate fish out of water story. When we talk about the seven archetypes of storytelling, you know, this is the fish out of water, but he, like you said, he's going to call into question the way things are done now because they are so foreign to him. But because he is a human, it's going, hopefully it will resonate. And I think part of what we're going through right now in coronavirus and being, you know, disjointed from each other and being more connected virtually to one another. And yet then we're also driven to be more connected to our families and our localities. So I think there's something that will resonate more so because of what we're in right now. So I think it is a good timing for this piece here.
Just to give a little forward look, not to get into what we're watching yet, but I often think about what, like, if you look at the founding fathers and you think about the Constitution and the writing of it and kind of creating the bones of what our legal system and our government is based on.
Right.
I often think, like, what if George Washington were to take a time machine and just wake up today? What would he think about
right.
the country that he thought he was made, or Thomas Jefferson, one of the major architects of it and everything. What would they think if they just like woke up today and saw what it was and like how he bastardized that whole thing, you know? Like, anyway, I enjoyed it. I'll probably watch it. It looks a lot of fun. I don't know when I'll watch it or how, but one of these days I'll probably, if I have the opportunity to come upon it, or if somehow we resubscribe to HBO somehow, and yeah, I'll watch it for sure. This is
right. If HBO just amasses enough things that you want to watch, you just do like a binge session and you just do it for a month. Yeah.
Pick it up for a couple months. Yeah, whatever, for sure. All right, let's talk Deep Impact. I mean, Armageddon. Meteor from 1979. I hope this takes place in 2012 and doesn't turn into the day after tomorrow.
Right?
All right. Greenland.
Greenland.
Yeah, Greenland. Let's talk Greenland. So,
or what I want to call it, Earth Has Fallen.
Yeah, Earth Has Fallen. So it's a return to the trailer of the trailer, which we haven't seen for a long time.
I know. It's so sad. It feels like, you know, they have a big, epic, big budget thing and they did that because that's what they know how to do.
I'm so nostalgic for the trailer to the trailer.
And then I was waiting for the line and I was like, oh, I guess we're not going to hear the line. But then I don't even remember if the line came up later, but I was like, ugh, they said the line and it was kind of, I really wanted them to say it later because it was going to be so awful if they did, but I don't know. You know, the trailer, not executed in a very creative way in here, so it's right to call it out for that. Gerard Butler, you talk about Charlize Theron, you know, like he's doing what he's doing. Is he an everyman or DC like ex special forces? You know, I can't tell whether.
Well, he's not an everyman because the guy lives in like a stellar house.
Right. So he can't be ex special forces, right?
Or he's not the everyman. I don't live in a house like that.
Right.
I find this blends two different genres.
Okay.
So it's obviously the disaster movie, but it's also the apocalyptic movie.
Yes.
And when you think about it that way, the disaster movie is, you know, the Perfect Storm or whatever the one was where the big wave took out New York. What was that? The Day After Tomorrow or something? I don't even know.
Yeah. Or 2012.
2012, yeah. They're all the same.
Yeah.
Right? But an apocalyptic movie would be like Waterworld or, well, that maybe is post-apocalyptic.
Postman, Waterworld, yes.
Yeah, but an apocalyptic movie is essentially, I would say the apocalypse happens when man turns on man.
Okay. Like every zombie movie.
Exactly, right? Okay, so if you think about a zombie movie, and we want to know what caused the virus and everything, the biggest thing about the zombie movies is, like with The Walking Dead for the most part, it all took place after the zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. But for a few episodes where they showed it going down.
Right.
But I would say Fear the Walking Dead was more about the apocalypse because that was pre-zombie, through the zombie, and then after. So that was more apocalypse.
Yeah. Can I just say, I know I've said this before in our podcast, but you know, now that I'm doing a lot more yard work and I like to do yard work in the morning. When I watched the first three episodes of Fear the Walking Dead, there is like in the distance.
You've watched them since they came out?
No. When I watched them in the beginning.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
When I watched them right when they came out, there's a lot of sound design that goes into stuff that's off in the distance.
Off camera, yeah.
And it's like way off and it's like somebody chainsawing, you know, or somebody, you know, a car accident happening off in the distance.
Right.
And I will say that when I'm doing my yard work at like 8 o'clock in the morning, I hear, or when I'm even running in the morning, I hear chainsaws going off in the
like,
distance
all
the time.
I hope that's not a zombie.
And because of Fear of the Walking Dead, I'm like, if we're in the middle of the beginning of a zombie apocalypse, like, how would we know? How would we know that that's a chainsaw because somebody's cutting in a palm tree, or if that's a chainsaw because somebody's trying to, you know, chop up a zombie in front of them? Anyway.
I will never approach the sound of a chainsaw the same way again. But yeah, so I'm just saying, like, it blends those two movies because it is the end of the world disaster movie. And then it's like everybody's right. Turning on each other because they're all trying to get to the bunker.
Exactly. And it's like I Am Legend. We know there's that great scene in I Am Legend where they're trying to get across the bridge. You know, he's trying to, you know, Will Smith's trying to get his family across the bridge.
Right.
And it's just like that, except it's extended. You know, this is an extended version of that.
Well, it's an extinction event.
That's what it is. Yeah. Extinction event, zombie apocalypse, post-apocalyptic. It tries to wrap it all into one.
Right.
I'm kind of interested in to see how they're going to do this differently.
That's what I was thinking.
Or whether it's just time for another one of these. And then am I interested enough to see it? There's probably enough other things out to see that I don't care to see this. I'm not a huge Gerard Butler fan, you know, so I don't know.
So what you're saying is it's worth watching because, I mean, obviously this movie's been done. So
right.
It's worth watching to see, well, it's been done. How are they going to do it different?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But maybe you wait a month. You give it a month and you see if anybody says like, oh, this is actually a very interesting take on this type of movie. And when you don't hear that, when you hear the silence, then you just don't waste your 2 hours.
Right.
Watch Independence Day again.
Yeah, but that's Aliens.
Ah, it's still apocalyptic, you know? It's still...
Yeah, watch Armageddon again.
Armageddon. Oh, yeah.
And then after that, you could go through the Christmas movies.
Deep Impact. Diehards.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Disaster apocalypse movies. But I couldn't imagine an enormous asteroid coming to Earth. So that would freak me out. And I would be like, boys, well, this is about the end.
I think 2020 has that on its menu for November. I think 2020 wants to shovel as much shit on us as we can.
And I just thought about it. I mean, we've just passed the 6 month point in the year. So I mean, hopefully the next 6 months is at least as eventful as the first 6 months. I mean, it's not like a lot happened.
No, we. We don't want it to be as eventful. We want it to be less eventful.
I'm kidding. I mean, what? We have an election coming up, so that's going to be a circus.
You're making my hands sweat just talking about that.
Oh, God. Right. Well, we have many a podcast to get into for that one. So, all right. So let's get into what we're watching. And you have a laundry list. So how about I do mine first?
You do yours first. Okay.
Okay. So Four Sheets. Have you ever heard of Four Sheets?
Oh, you told me of Four Sheets because I was telling you about Somebody Feed Phil.
Yeah, Somebody Feed Phil, Ted loved. And it reminded me of the show that Clarissa and I watched. It was on one of those, what was it called? It was like Mojo TV or something. It was one of those man channels.
I remember it when it came out. And I was intrigued by the premise, like getting drunk all over the world. Yes.
So the man channel Mojo went away. And then I think it jumped over to Spike TV. And then it finally...
Yes, I think I saw it on that.
Yeah, and then I think we saw it on Mojo or something. I don't know, whatever. And then Spike TV, or maybe we saw it on Spike TV. I don't even know. And then it went over to like Travel Channel, which actually makes sense. But they were probably apprehensive because the show itself is a drinking game. After four seasons, it got canceled. So then I thought, oh, Ted loved Everybody Feed Phil, or anybody. What is it?
Somebody Feed Phil.
Somebody Feed Phil, which I want to watch. And so I thought, let me look up that show, Three Sheets. And next thing you know, there's a Four Sheets.
Four Sheets.
And it's on Drink TV.
Oh, wow.
So they did one season, and I think it's like 6 or 8 episodes. It's not a lot, but they did one season. We watched the first season, and it's the same show. I mean, it's instead of Three Sheets, it's Four Sheets. And the show itself is a drinking game. So when he does certain things, you know, there's like you drink and whatever it is. And then, but Drink TV is this streaming channel all about like drinking. And it likes the Four Sheets so much it picked up a second season. So I guess that's to come out. So we watched that.
Five Sheets? Is it going to be Five Sheets?
Yeah, Five Sheets. The only thing I was thinking is somebody probably owns the licensing to Three Sheets. So he just called it Four Sheets.
Hey, if there's something called Drink TV, we should just turn on our, you know, we should record our Skypes and just put it into the Drink TV.
I should look into that. I think I will. And then we finished Waco.
Okay.
Yeah, we finished Waco. So Clarissa...
How did it end?
How did it end?
I'm just kidding.
Well, the funny thing is... So we're like it's 6 episodes. We're 4 episodes into it, and we're brushing our teeth one night before bed, and I ask... I'm like, so do you know how this ends? And she goes, no, I know nothing about it. I said, really? Oh, you don't know anything about this? I'm like, oh, I'm not going to say a thing.
Wow.
So when the whole place is burning and all that, I mean, Clarissa is on the sofa like sobbing.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, the kids are in there and like 25 kids die. And man, it was awful. I mean, it really was. It sucked. And she was like, I had no idea that went down, you know, and she, like. And it's, and then they're like day 50, you know, day 51. And you're just like, I can't. Like, I remember it went on a long
time. The siege.
I do not remember it going on for like 2 months. Unbelievable.
Well, it was the news, you know, news cycle. They had already moved on. It was too long for the already shortened attention span of news cycles.
But I do remember when it burned. I mean, we were all glued to the television, you know, watching that thing burn down. And it was like, whoa, man, that is incredible, you know, and it was insane. But and then the last thing, well, not the last thing, but Friday night we watched Hamilton.
Did you watch the whole thing?
The whole thing. Yeah.
It's long.
2 hours for that was my first comment. It's long. So here's the funny thing. Clarissa said, oh, it was so sad when his son died. How did his son die? I said, in a duel. She said, I know he died in a duel, but how did his son die? I said, in a duel. She said, I know. I'm talking about his son. I said, and I'm telling you, in a duel. You fell asleep, didn't you?
That's that one hilarious.
Scene, she nodded off and she missed the whole duel. And she wakes up when the guys lay it out dying.
Yes. Oh, that's hilarious. You guys should take that on the road, like Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, who's out first. Of the sun die. Yeah.
In a duel. I know he did. I know Hamilton died. Yeah, so we watched it. We watched it with Frank and Barbara in the projector outside on Friday night.
Okay.
And and Anne's like, Anne is so conscientious, you know, she's like, she's checking on them. They're sitting in their chairs. She's always asking me every 5 minutes, can they hear it? Do you think they can hear it? And I'm like, I got my speaker system. It's all good. I turned it up. They can hear it. You know, we hear our speaker, they hear their speaker, whatever. We got the subtitles on because Barbara likes to read the subtitles in case she misses anything.
Oh,
you know.
Okay, I'm going to watch it again and do that.
Do that. Yeah.
Because if I can interrupt, that goes into my first... Well, I wouldn't say first, probably my only complaint. And my complaint is really nothing specific to Hamilton, but to musicals.
Right.
Years ago, I don't know how many years ago, 10 years ago, we went and saw Phantom.
Uh-huh.
And we went with like this whole group of people and everybody's talking about how amazing it was. And people are like, so Jim, that was your first time seeing Phantom. What did you think? And my response was, I have no idea what was going on. I couldn't understand one word they said. I don't remember which guy it was. I want to say it was Jefferson. He was very fast.
Yes. No, he was the most rap sing songy of the
super
all of them.
Fast. And he said some line so fast. And I said to Chris, I'm like, what did he just say? And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, well.
It's gone.
So I do like the idea of subtitles.
Subtitles. And, you know, you can kind of put it out. I will say that the subtitles, for the most part, are at the bottom of the screen. And sometimes in the wide shots, to me, it would have been better, like, if they designed it a little better and put the subtitles at the top of the screen.
Okay.
You know, a lot of times they'll do it if it's going to cover something up.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one, they just always had it all at the bottom. But anyway, Anne's asking me and making sure that they can hear. I'm like, I already asked them a couple times during this. And then right before intermission, Anne looks over. And Frank, he's sitting in his nice, you know, the chairs that he brought over, the nice beach chairs he has, you know, that he brings to Kalaira and stuff whenever they go out, those really nice folding chairs that he has. And you see him, like, sit up on the edge of his seat. And he sits forward and he's looking intently. And as we approach intermission, because it's nice that it has an intermission and obviously everybody needs to catch their breath at a 2 hours, 40 minutes, you know, live performance, you know?
Oh yeah. I thought there was going to be two intermissions.
And during intermission, Anne saw Frank do this and she was like, all right, parents, you know, like, if you guys want, we could stop. We could watch us tomorrow. And I was like, watch us tomorrow during the 4th of July, like with the fireworks going off in the background, whatever. It's like weird, right? So, but Frank and Barbara were like, maybe it's a good idea to give it a break here, you know, because it took us a while to get going. So it was kind of late already. So we took a break and then we watched it the second night. We watched the second half with the fireworks in the background. And it was actually it was appropriate. Like, it felt of the time, you know, because of...
Yeah, I got you.
1776 and, you know, the 4th of July and kind of commemorating the early release of this content. So, I don't know. That was your only comment of it was that Jefferson thing, but have you heard it before? Have you heard the soundtrack before?
I heard a lot of the songs. I didn't hear the entire soundtrack like through, but I did hear a lot of the different numbers before. Yes.
Okay.
I would say I'm probably more on par with Anne, where I'm more conscientious of these things because twofold. One, when they're at our house and we're watching movies, I'm always checking on them. I'm always making sure they can hear. I'm always making sure they're comfortable. I often notice Barbara's, I could tell by the glaze in her eyes, she's somewhere else in her head. Frank often nods off and starts sleeping no matter what kind of action is going on. So we don't do a lot of movie watching with him because of we just lose him.
Right.
The second thing I'm conscientious about is know your audience, right?
Right, right.
I would never show this to my parents. So I was thinking, I'm like, okay, you know, like, I wonder if my mom would be, because my mom likes musicals and plays and things, and she, I don't know if she's still going because of all the COVID stuff, but she always had an annual pass to this one theater group thing. I think it's like they have, I want to say, 6 plays a year. And it's more like the lower end, I wouldn't say lower end, but more like the smaller stage ones, like Neil Simon's and stuff like that.
Right.
And she goes with her girlfriends and she, you know, it's like a dinner night out and they do all that. And she just loves it, you know. But it's like, okay, the Revolution, Hamilton, the Federal Reserve, all the stuff of the Founding Fathers. All right, she might be into that. The rap music, probably not. She's a Trump supporter. Mostly blacks and Puerto Ricans. And it's like, yeah, I would lose her on this thing. She just wouldn't be into it, man. It's like, she's just, you know, a old boomer white woman. You know what I mean? Like, there's no other way to describe it, you know?
And then on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, you have Audrey, who, like, she's like, ooh, Lawrence, I love his freckles. Like, she's so, like, boy crazy.
Yeah, but she's also, you know, 14.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The complete opposite end of the spectrum.
And it was funny, too. I was watching it, and I couldn't help but laugh at you being so giddy in our last episode. Hamilton, are you a fan? Are you, like, a fan of Hamilton? And I was laughing to myself. I'm like, Ted's like a teenage girl, you know?
Well, I had to channel my inner teenage girl because the whole time we're watching it over the course of 2 nights, Audrey's like patting herself on the back. Well, thank you to my 6th grade obsession of Hamilton. Now everybody knows what I was all obsessed about. And
that's so like, funny.
Calm down, little girl, you know?
No, but I'll have to say though, I don't want to sound like I'm making light of their performance, but I would say it was like really well rehearsed.
Oh, yeah.
So in other words, like, and I don't mean that like they're not good at what they do. They just rehearsed it a lot. What I'm saying is like they're good at what they do, but it was so well like when they threw a chair or something and the guy was walking past as the chair was coming down and he caught it. You know, I'm like, dude, the timing on that is amazing. Like, how many times did they rehearse that, you know?
And you know, that supporting ensemble is so unsung, literally, you know, unsung, because after listening to this performance in the classic soundtrack that we've had to listen to since 6th grade, and we tried to get tickets for Audrey and we couldn't get them and we were so expensive and they're, you know, $1,000 for our family to go see this.
Well, I told Clarissa, we easily saved $200.
But, you know, after listening to it for basically 2+ years, to see it finally and to see it.
Oh, you've never seen it.
I've never seen it before this. No.
Oh, my God. I thought you did.
No, I've only heard it. We've only had the soundtrack playing like nonstop. I bought Audrey the soundtrack when it came out because she really wanted it.
Oh, wow.
You know, we bought, you know, she got the book for her birthday like 2 years ago. So it's the book or the production, and it has some production still. So we knew what the set looked like. We knew what it all
so
looked like.
So the only difference between me and you is you just heard the soundtrack more often than I did.
Exactly. The soundtrack was ingrained in my being, and I knew what it was going to be like. But then when you have the ensemble playing and you see that gunshot, and you have that one woman in the ensemble that holds the bullet, and she kind of has the bullet slowly coming out of it, you know, and she kind of holds it as it carries across. I was like, oh, that's such an evocative way to portray the slow down of passage of time, you know? And the way they play with time throughout this stage performance was amazing.
The turning, you know, stage was awesome.
The turntable. And then you knew the rewind from the song. You knew it was going to rewind. But to have the actual action rewind and have people walking on parts of the turntable and standing still in other parts.
Exactly.
It was just so well orchestrated. And I think that's what you're leaning into, right? The orchestration of it. And
no, I was going to say it was well choreographed. So that's probably the orchestrated, but I'm saying well rehearsed. What I mean by, yes. like I said, when they threw the chair and like the guy comes walk, I think it was the guy who played James Madison or something.
Uh-huh.
He comes walking by, catches it in midair and keeps walking. The timing of that, like that is, things like that make they spent the time rehearsing when he needs to leave to walk to when they throw right. it to the music beats to the, you know, the whole thing. And it's like,
it's attention to detail across the board.
Oh, amazing.
Craft.
Yeah.
Craft.
And yeah, well choreographed too, like with the dancing. And I mean, overall, I thought it was well done. Who is your favorite character?
Angelica Schuyler is my favorite character. And to me, she's the most, next to Hamilton, I guess, she's the most self-inflicted character. So as far as like character and character development, Angelica's my favorite. I think Thomas Jefferson is a close second because of his rap battles with Hamilton.
Right.
You know, Lin-Manuel, I appreciate his craft and his mind in creating this thing, but I think when it went on off Broadway and Lin-Manuel left the thing, they said that the person who replaced him as Hamilton actually did a better job of singing Hamilton's parts. But Lin-Manuel, you know, I think he is also self-identified as saying like, I'm kind of not the weakest link, but not the strongest, you know, person in the whole thing. So I love, you know, I think that's it. Angelica, and a close second is Jefferson. Jefferson slash whoever he was in the first half. He was somebody else in the first half. I forget.
Yeah, I enjoyed the king.
The king is phenomenal. The king's songs are some of the best in the whole production. Yes.
I mean, he was the comic relief in it all.
Yes, of course. And he's, of course, the most brutal of all the characters. And yet he's,
you know, his flamboyance and everything. I mean, it was he was so king-like. I mean, it was just great.
Have you heard the story about Prince Harry?
I have not. No. Well, which story? I mean,
So Prince Harry and Meghan Markle went to go see this on Broadway. And when the king had his parts, like Harry was already a fan. He knew he was the production knew he was a fan. He actually got on stage and he sang King George's song.
Prince Harry did?
Prince Harry did. And, you know, he is blood related to King George. So he is in the lineage of George. So to sing those songs to an American audience in New York City, you know, to have the tongue in cheekness with your American fiance or American girlfriend, you know, was amazing, I thought, you know, and Anne shared that with me. And I thought that was an amazing fact of Prince Harry.
All right. So we covered Hamilton, which is one of the things you were watching.
Yes. Now let me pull out my app because I have to pull out my app.
All right. Give us the laundry list of all that you've been watching.
Okay. So from the 27th, we began with,
man, the guy keeps it on do you have a diary?
I put it in an app. No. Yeah. It's a diary in Letterboxd.
So Letterboxd,
they only do movies, which is a problem, but we're trying to work with them on that. But we told the grandparents, we said, we have this projector, come and watch stuff with us. You know, we'll just do stuff. And the kids love rewatching stuff. So we rewatched the most recent trilogy of Star Wars, starting with The Force Awakens.
Okay.
On the 27th.
Oh, so the third trilogy.
The third trilogy, yes.
Yeah.
The Rey trilogy, I guess there was some people would call it.
Oh, there you go.
So on the 27th, we watched Star Wars Force Awakens. 28th, Anna and I watched Star Trek Beyond. Then the night of the 28th, Frank, Barbara, and my family watched Star Wars Last Jedi.
And this is all outside.
Even though it's called Last Jedi. All out. Well, the one Ann and I, when Ann and I watch a movie, it's normally, you know, we tuck away from the children and we run in our bedroom and we watch something.
Gotcha.
Quickly
on the 49 incher.
On the 49 incher, exactly.
That's right.
That's the only 49 incher in the bedroom.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
I always laugh at the 40, like, why not make it a 50 inch? I don't understand that, you know?
So then on the on June 30th, we watched Ad Astra. I don't know if you remember Ad Astra.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that one. That was with, wait, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Brad Pitt.
Oh, Brad Pitt, yes.
Oh, I did. I just did.
Where his dad was like, it's like the legacy of space travel or something.
Yeah, his dad goes to Neptune and he's sent to kind of, you know, bring back the madman. And I don't know if you're into Apocalypse Now or Heart of Darkness, the novel.
Yes.
But this is a true heart. It's a true Heart of Darkness story.
Oh, okay.
In space.
Oh,
it was amazing. And it's like Heart of Darkness. It's like, oh, we don't know what he's doing out there, but he's sending pulses back to Earth. That's, you know, that's hurting, you know, killing thousands of people. Go out there, go out to Neptune and try to stop your father from sending these deathly pulses back to Earth, right?
Neptune's so far away.
It's Heart of Darkness, right? And Heart of Darkness is just, it's a meditative Heart of Darkness because he's a lot alone through a lot of it. And he has to, you know, imagine the trials and tribulations you have to go through to get from Earth to the moon to Mars. Then
is it different than the Martian?
It is different than the Martian. It is completely different than the Martian.
Okay.
And then on the 30th of the night of the 30th, we went outside to watch Ratatouille.
Ah,
because it was the anniversary of Ratatouille the day before. And then we watched The Inventor Out for Blood in Silicon Valley, which was the documentary on HBO for, Elizabeth Holmes, you know, the one that had that blood startup that basically failed that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then that night of the first, we went outside to watch My Spy. You ever heard of My Spy?
I have heard of My Spy. I don't think I've ever seen it though.
No, it's new. It's on Amazon and Amazon bought it.
Oh, okay.
So Amazon's kind of outright. They own that for their stuff. It's a Prime movie. Your boys might like that.
I haven't seen it then, no.
The boys might like it, you know. I don't know if are the boys sensitive to language?
They are to a degree. It depends on the language because sometimes if they hear some words, they're like, "Oh, that's not a word anybody should be saying."
There's a couple of
they put people in check with what they say.
There's a couple of shits thrown around in there, so
oh, shit think, wouldn't
know,
bother them,
you know. Emphatically, you know, doing that, you know. So it's an interesting movie. It's definitely a kids movie, but it's also like a spy movie. So there is some death in it, which is kind of weird. But it's interesting to have a new age kind of kids movie with Dave Bautista. So I liked it a lot better than I thought I would. And then on the night of July the 2nd, we finished up with the grandparents, the Rise of Skywalker. So we finished the trilogy with them. And then on the 3rd, I found Groundhog Day.
Oh.
On one of the streaming services. So
one of my favorites.
This is the first time that I actually said so Bryce wasn't into Groundhog Day. He didn't want to watch it. He was like against it for the most part. And he really kind of exposed Groundhog Day for the rom-com that it is. It's a romantic comedy. And
of course
and I never
it is.
Saw it as a romantic comedy. I always thought of it as just a straight comedy, but he's like, nope, this is romantic comedy. I don't do romantic comedy.
That's
and
amazing.
Bryce is like, they're kissing. I was like, oh no, he has like a couple of dalliances with these other women, you know, but you know, he does what he needs to do to get out of it with Andie MacDowell. But he's like, no, this is a straight up romantic comedy. And to get Bryce into it, I said, Bryce, help me count the number of days we see. So every time you have a new day, let's mark it on a piece of paper.
Oh, nice.
So we counted 40 days. And of course, the 40 days that we see on camera are not the 40 days. It doesn't mean that it took place over 40 days. It took place over many more than 40 days because he has to learn how to.
Isn't it like 900 or something?
He had to learn how to play the piano, which would have taken months. He had to learn how to, you know, speak French and learn French, you know, poetry and all that stuff. So, yeah, it would have taken at least a year, if not longer. Some people say longer. So I definitely did this the first, you know, first kind of systematic observation of this movie. And I want to go back into it and basically download the whole movie where I put the day number on it. And then when he says that he did something like learn how to play the piano, then I kind of take an average and figure out how many days actually elapsed between the.
You Google, how long does it take to play the piano?
Right? So on average. That was that day. And Bryce has now told me that he will not watch any rom-coms that I bring to him.
Oh, man.
Then on the 3rd and the 4th, we watched Hamilton, as we said.
Exactly.
And then because I cannot record television shows on here, I had to say, "What's Eating Gilbert Grape?" And when I put this in here, Anne was like, "Why do you have this in here?" And I said, "Well, it's the only way I can record that. I saw the last episode of Somebody Feed Phil." So we finally watched the last episode. We finally finished that.
So now I get your Instagram post. I'm like, what the heck is he talking about?
Somebody Feed Phil, What's Eating Gilbert Grape? It feels like it has the same meter to the titles. And I said, Letterboxd, let's fix this. I need to be a diary of what I'm watching and what I'm doing, not just movies that I watch.
Yeah.
So that's my big thing with them. And that's another reason that I think Pangolin is still a thing, still a possibility. And then to round out yesterday, Anne and I watched before we met up with the grandparents to have dinner with them for 4th of July. Anne and I found a couple of hours to watch The Aeronauts.
Oh, okay.
You remember we covered that.
Yeah, Amazon, right?
Amazon Prime again.
Yeah.
And part of the reason we're watching Amazon Prime, I'm like...
It's like steampunkish, right?
It is. It's like a turn of the last century.
Right.
And it's a balloonists that are like extreme, pre-weather people.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically the one Redmayne guy, he's basically the first meteorologist. And I was like, oh, it's so funny. Yesterday we watched Groundhog Day with Phil, like the most useless meteorologist.
Right. Who,
and then this guy who's so passionate about it that he puts a balloon 36,000 feet into the air. So Anne and I watched that. We loved it. But I had to tell Anne to get off the phone because she was just like fact checking it like a beast throughout the movie. she's like, he's a real person. She's fake. She's amalgam of all these other characters. I'm like, she's climbing on the outside of a frozen balloon. Can you just watch like the sheer intensity of what's going on right now in this movie?
And you're like, it doesn't matter. It's a movie.
I said, let's suspend all disbelief. I know she's a part Amelia Earhart, part other balloonist, part other aeronaut. She's like an amalgam of six people in historical reality. But she is a character in a movie that we're watching. Like, let's just enjoy, the Rogue One in this other space, So that was that, yeah. Oh, and then one last thing. Tonight we watched, or this afternoon we watched Top Gun.
The original
Top Gun. And I will say that we couldn't find Top Gun anywhere and we wanted to find it. And Anne said something about it to me last weekend and this weekend. And I said, I have like a tub full of 400 DVDs somewhere. So I went out to the garage and I was like, I found them. I found 400 DVDs.
420p.
That's right. Exactly. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Audrey and I went through and she pulled out 130 plus DVDs that she wants to watch before the summer ends.
I take it she's not good at math, like the amount of time it's going to take.
What do you mean?
The amount of time?
No, she's just dedicated.
Okay.
She's a dedicated person.
Okay.
So basically we were just running through, we were looking for Top Gun. We were looking for a couple other movies that Anne wanted to see that she knew that we owned. And as we went through, I just kept throwing them into Audrey's bin. So Audrey has a bin of like this 100 plus movies that
wow.
she wants to see. So I made her get a Letterboxd.
That's like four account. A day.
We'll see how long it takes her to get through it. But yeah, at least four a day. No, we'll see.
Dude, that's like a full-time job to get through 100 plus DVDs in a couple of months.
Whew. Well, I think she's looking to rank them in how she wants to watch them to make sure she gets through, the majority of them. I said, let's get through 30. Just pick the top 30 and make sure you get through those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there you go. That was my thing. And I was like, because Letterboxd does it this way, let's just watch movies. We have a lot of movies. We started Jurassic Park tonight. We'll see if we can do that. Because my DVD collection is kind of stuck in time. It's a lot of 90s movies.
Yeah, you watched a lot of, to include last week with Twister and everything, you watched a lot of previously viewed older movies this week.
Yeah, we're rewatching a lot of stuff. And now my thing is, like, let's watch the things that I can't get in streaming. Like, there's a lot of movies that I look for in streaming that I know that I own, that I was like, oh, well, we can't get that on streaming. Then this is something that is actually special.
Right. I know what you mean. So how did the beer finish? What'd you think?
The beer is good. Like, I continue to not be a Belgian fan, but I am a fan of you and a fan of your beer. So I do appreciate the beer.
That's why I said I was a little nervous, because I know you're not huge into Belgians, and here I'm giving you a Belgian. So that's what I'm like, I'm nervous about this one.
No. But I think, like I said before, most of the manufactured Belgians lack complexity. So this is complex. And I really don't mind drinking the, what'd you call it?
Trube.
The Trube. So the Trube is what I'm drinking right now. And once again, it's warmed up. And it is a little sweet for my palate. But it's a change, you know, because I don't drink it all the time. And I know that I'm probably not going to have another Belgian until we go up there, or you guys come down here. Are you guys coming down or no?
You know, we're debating. I mean, we were planning on coming down, and then it's like COVID's like going crazy again and
peaking.
It's like we're on a new upswing, and I'm just like, I don't know, man. I mean, going to some kid's birthday party, and
yeah,
who knows who's gonna be there? And it was definitive a few weeks ago, and now I'm kind of teetering, and I think I'm going to fall over on the other side, and we're probably not going to come.
Right.
Just for that reason. I mean, if things were still on the downswing or the leveled off swing, I would say, yeah, it would have been what it was a few weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even in where we are and stuff, everything's closing up again, and it's just like, man, just people, wear your mask for crying out loud.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. If you didn't, you know, like, I just wish people, you know, like you said, if people just wear their masks, if everybody wear their masks, then we might have been able to keep everything open, but we'll never know.
I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about, like, the new culture war is masks.
Why is it a thing?
I don't know, but they were saying in 1918, there was an organized group. They were like anti-maskers in 1918.
Really?
The majority were in Europe. The majority of the anti-maskers were in Europe in 1918, but a lot were in the U.S. and everything. And even today, it's like you have these people who are just like, I don't know. It's like, like going back to the Home Depot incident, people not wearing their mask, and the guy said, you know, would you mind putting your mask on, you know, while in the store? And like, there's almost a fist fight over it. I'm just like, dude,
right?
Just, you're in a store in the public with, and let me put it this way, man, the store was freaking packed with people.
I know.
I never saw it so crowded.
And that's the thing that is like, you know, Ann's big thing is like, nobody's social distancing anymore. Even with the masks on, you're still like, you know, it's supposed to be a...
Well, I think the masks are the reason they don't, because there's that false sense of security. Oh, I got a mask on here. Let me squeeze in and get a bag of Doritos.
Rub up against you.
let me get the chips, you know?
I keep joking that, you know, all these places that have to hand out masks to people that don't want to wear them, they should put that "don't tread on me" mask, like "don't tread on me" flag on a mask, and hand it out to those people, because there's going to be, if you have a Venn diagram of the people that don't want to wear masks and the people that love the "don't tread on me" flag,
right?
It's going to be very, very overlapped,
yeah,
in the Venn diagram of life. So if you were to hand out masks that said "don't tread on me," they'd actually wear it because they approve of the message, you know?
All right, man. Well, how about we get out of here? We'll get this thing cut up and out. And yeah, I had a good time tonight, and I'm glad you guys are watching a lot of old timey movies from like 20 years ago, and that sounds fun.
And we will expose the children to the classics, the classic films like Jurassic Park, the original trilogy. Or
really quick, not to make this longer, but I will.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny though? Like, if you think, like, okay, I was born in the 70s, 71, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you go through the 70s. But if you think, like, were people in the 70s, like, nostalgic going back? Like, dude, that was from the 50s. I remember.
Oh, it was so great.
I know people did. But, like, I don't think it had the same feel as, like, the original Jurassic Park, you know, with Newman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. No, we're Newman and his Barbasol can of shaving cream. We're in the midst of it right now. It's amazing.
Exactly.
I don't understand it. I think maybe like the 70, the 50s and the 60s had less video and media to go back to hold on to.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what it was.
And then once the 80s hit, we have all of it to just dive into and to just love, you know, to relive.
Totally. I mean, go back to Top Gun or something, right? And stuff. And
exactly.
I mean, you're in the danger zone with that, you know?
Audrey's like, this soundtrack's got a 10.
That's amazing.
She loved that. All right, have a great night.
Yeah, you too, Ted. We'll talk to you.
All right, bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.